Welcome to Dawson Speak, a podcast about Dawson's Creek. I'm Tracy.
And this is Charles.
And welcome to a study hall. Just to let you know, this is not a regular, quote-unquote, regular episode, if that's what you were expecting. But maybe you've read the title. Maybe you know. This is a study hall this week.
It's a very special episode.
Is it a very special episode of Dawson Speak, a podcast about Dawson's Creek? We're going to learn a lot about each other.
Yeah, apparently. This is what you all want.
It's funny. I was just saying before we hit record that I've forgotten how to podcast because it feels like it's been a while since Charles and I have done this, even though we've seen each other and we've talked to each other since. But as we mentioned in the past couple of weeks, we recorded 5/12 and 5/13, like pretty much one day after another due to traveling and other kind of life things. So, yeah, but now we're back, done traveling for the immediate future. We've got a study hall, as promised, a Q&A. We've taken your anonymous questions, and I will say up front, we are not answering every single question because we got more questions than we expected, which I feel like we should have expected it because this happened the last time to us, and we're like, no one's going to ask us a question. And then a lot of people asked questions. So if we don't answer your question this time around, it is not because we didn't like your question, but because we just didn't have a chance to get to it. We've got a list of them. We're going to try to go through as many as possible. A lot of the questions kind of overlap, so we might kind of combine some of the questions together. And then, of course, if you were dying to ask a question and we didn't answer it, you can always email us. There will be future Q&As as well. But yeah, we're sorry if we don't get to your question.
Yeah, it's not like this was your only chance to ask a question about us. We're pretty open book people, I think.
We are. We are pretty open book people. The first thing I do want to bring up is that in the midst of our traveling and stuff, we got an email from Christine who wanted to comment on the Hogwarts house sortings that we discussed in a previous episode because of that Screen Rant post. And, you know, we said we disagreed with it. And Christine talked about her rankings, but then asked us, Tracy, I'm pretty sure you're Ravenclaw. I'm not sure about Charles, though. I want to say either Hufflepuff or Gryffindor. So let's talk about this really quickly because this is one of the funniest things that we like to rib Charles about. And I say we, meaning everyone who knows him. Charles, what house do you think you are?
Listen, I stand by the answer I'm about to give. I believe I am a Slytherin.
I'm shaking my head right now. You can't see it, but I'm shaking my head because literally zero people who have been asked this have agreed with Charles.
I'm fairly ambitious. I'm fairly opportunistic. It's not my fault that I'm so good at code switching that people don't realize that.
I think Charles is a Gryffindor. Everyone thinks Charles is a Gryffindor. Well, some people think he's a Ravenclaw, and I always have to say, I don't know, guys. I don't know about that.
But I feel like such a Mary Sue when people say I'm a Gryffindor.
Why? There's nothing bad about being a Gryffindor. And I'm not saying you're not a Ravenclaw because you're not smart. I'm just saying that, of the four houses, it's so obvious you're a Gryffindor.
I just don't see it. I don't see it. And I'm surprised more people don't think I'm a Hufflepuff. I don't know why.
I would say, okay, you've taken multiple quizzes online, too, and none of them have told you you're a Slytherin, Charles.
Okay, listen. Most of the time, when I take sorting quizzes, I take the quizzes that, allow you to see what percentage of what house you are, right? Not all of them allow that. Normally, all of my ranking or all of my sortings are pretty close to each other. It'll be, 60% Gryffindor, 50% Ravenclaw, 50% Slytherin, 50% Hufflepuff, whatever have you. I seem to recall the first time I ever did a sorting, I got Slytherin. That being said, I don't remember which sorting that was. It might have been Pottermore. It might have been some other Facebook quiz. I don't know. But most of the time, I will admit, I get sorted into Gryffindor.
I feel like you only will get sorted into Slytherin if you're trying to answer the questions like you'd be a Slytherin. I would say you're a Gryffindor above all else. And then Ravenclaw and Hufflepuff is pretty tied. And then Slytherin at the bottom. I just don't see you as a Slytherin. I'm sorry.
Okay, question. What about my personality makes you think I'm a Gryffindor?
Because you remind me a lot of Jack in, like, I'm going to bring this back to Dawson's Creek right now because this is not a Harry Potter podcast. Because I think that you are quite noble. Like, you are someone who believes in doing the right thing and acts on it in a way that a lot of people perhaps don't. You're humble sometimes, but you're pretty humble. You are brave. When we did an escape room, you didn't hesitate when we needed to sacrifice someone.
Tracy, you know what I thought just what? Now that would be really funny? What if I was doing this just so you would praise me? And if that were true, wouldn't that be particularly Slytherin of me?
You're not a Slytherin. Okay, moving on. Okay, wait. What house do you think I am?
I would put you primarily into Ravenclaw.
Interesting.
I feel like there are parts of you that could sort into all four of the houses. So I think Ravenclaw first, and probably Gryffindor second. I don't feel great about that answer, but I'm going to stick by it. How do you self-sort?
I mean, I am most drawn to Hufflepuff just because I aspire to be a Hufflepuff, because I think Hufflepuffs are loyal, which I think is a very admirable quality and trait. Yeah, I would like to be a Hufflepuff, but I feel like I'm probably a Ravenclaw, not because I think I'm smart, because I'm not that intelligent, but I don't think on paper intelligence, you know, like a GPA is exactly what qualifies you as a Ravenclaw. So yeah, I could see a mix of both.
Really, everyone's a mix of everything. This some is true. Slytherin, some Gryffindor, but you know, people can feel how they feel.
Okay, like I said, this is not a Harry Potter podcast, although we could probably talk about Harry Potter for a very long time if we wanted to. We will not, though. We will talk about Dawson's Creek, because that is what we are here for. Charles.
Yes, Tracy.
The number one question we received, overwhelmingly the number one question we received, people want to know what your predictions are for this series finale. Now, throughout the recording of our podcast, you've given predictions here and there, but we've never actually written them down. So Charles will actually be putting this on our website, DawsonSpeak.com, which conveniently is where you can also find the link to subscribe to us, to contact us, and to buy our merch. So go do that if you have not yet. But he will put this post on DawsonSpeak.com so we can have it in one place to refer to. Because I think so far when we've talked about the series finale, you know there's a time skip. And up until the beginning of season 5, you were saying that it's a time skip to a funeral, because you did find out, you got spoiled about Mitch dying.
Yeah.
We saw the episode, and you know, now that we know that Mitch is dead, your predictions have been a little bit all over the place, but what are your series finale predictions? Like, major plots, and where will the characters be in that time? How far ahead do you think we're skipping? Things like that.
Okay. I'm surprised this is the top asked question, because I make random predictions all the time. But at this point, since my whole Mitch's funeral, everyone coming back to Cape Side idea got blown up, I think the series finale will be a wedding. I think it's going to be about 10 years in the future from where we end. The couple getting married will be Dawson and Joey, and people will come back to Cape Side. None of the other characters will be in relationships with each other. And just career-wise, I think Dawson will be a successful producer. Joey will be like a journalist. Pastry's going to be a chef. Jen's going to be like a columnist. Jack's going to be a businessman like his dad. And Audrey's going to be like a TV personality. Those are my predictions for the finale. I don't know if I can give more detail than that, because I honestly have no idea what's going to happen.
Do you not think Andy is involved at all?
Oh, crap. Okay. She's back in Cape Side, but if I remember correctly, all if not most of her scenes were cut from the finale, weren't they?
Yeah, so this is something you know. Meredith Monroe is in the series finale, but her scenes do not appear in the version that was broadcast. I have not actually seen the scenes. I know what the scenes are, but I haven't seen them. I have the DVD. I'm waiting to watch it to when we get to the series finale for this podcast. But yeah, her scenes were cut.
So canonically, who's to say what happened, Tracy? Maybe she's just doesn't exist anymore.
Mm-hmm. So side characters wise, Gail, Bessie, Doug, I'm thinking like family members here. Do you think they're going to appear, or do you think it's going to be mainly focused on like the core five plus Audrey?
I mean, I think they'll be at the wedding. I think the episode will be basically set at the wedding and concern a wedding. What's Dawson's sister's name again? Lily? Lily. I think Lily's going to be like a ring bearer.
Flower girl.
Are there not female ring bearers?
No, I mean, I think you can, but I think like quote traditionally, whatever that means, like, usually girls are flower girls, whatever that. I mean, you literally just walk down an aisle and throw flowers. It's the dumbest role in a wedding, let's be honest.
Well,
I've been a flower girl, I can say that.
I think all the side characters related to Dawson are in the wedding. I think like most of the other Cape side characters are like up in the crowd, they attend, but I think most of the storyline will have to do with everyone reuniting and like reflecting on their lives in Cape Side.
Interesting. All right. Write that down. Those predictions will be at DawsonSpeak.com. If you're right, maybe we'll come up with a prize system here. But okay. Next question. What is your absolute favorite episode of this series up until this point? Now, we've watched up till 5:13. So up until 5:13, Charles, what's your favorite episode?
I did a quick scan of all the episodes' titles and like some brief descriptions. I probably didn't give this episode a 10 the first time around, but I don't remember which episodes I gave 10s because we're not very good at record keeping. But the episode I remember fondly the most is The Unusual Suspects, in which Pacey, Dawson, and Jack play a prank on the principal and then frame Drew. I just remember it being like really fun, and it's kind of stands on its own. Like you could watch it without any context of the episodes happening around it and you'd get most of it. And it shows them being friends despite the fact that they're not super friendly at that point in the storyline, and I feel bad for Drew a little bit. But yeah, I think that's my like most fondly remembered episode right now.
That's a season 4 episode, right? Yeah, because Drew's there.
Yeah.
I think my favorite episode, you know, when we did our study hall, that was the 20th anniversary episode, and we did sort of the collab with all the other podcasts. I can't remember if, because one of the questions I asked people was, what's your favorite episode? And I can't remember if I said my favorite episode, and I feel like I should have went back and listened to it, but I don't know if I said this at the time, but this is my answer right now at this moment. I think it's the season 3 finale, True Love. I just think it's such a nice culmination of the Pacey-Joey ship that we were kind of building up to. I am a Pacey-Joey shipper. No apologies for it. So I really liked that kind of storyline buildup, how we got there. I liked there was so much that I liked about it that was just so emotional and funny and heartfelt and dramatic. Like, it was just kind of a nice little package of all the emotions you could think of. And yeah, I think looking back, there are problems too in the storyline. Like, I still hate that feeling of Dawson needing to give quote unquote permission to Joey. We went through all of that. If you want to hear all of our analysis and stuff, you could go back to 3:23. But I think I really like that episode. That one or Mitch's funeral, I think, is just a really perfect episode too.
Mitch's funeral definitely also stands apart, and like it's a really good episode. I also really love that episode.
Okay, next question. Even into season 5 and 6, I was still not over Andy being written off. I always wondered, what if she had been a part of the storyline as the series went on, which I think is fun to think about. Also I always found it frustrating that she could have been bought back as a regular pretty easily, or I take even semi-regular appearances. In reality, it's hard to believe there aren't any more references since she's a sibling to the core cast, and she herself was a member of the core cast at one point. So my question is, what storylines do you think would have worked well to have Andy be a part of so far in season 5, and how do you think Andy and Audrey would have gotten along?
I think about Andy a lot too, because the storyline we find ourselves in with Jack right now is basically him losing his identity and trying to find it again, right? So I think having Andy around for that storyline obviously would be very interesting. I would also be kind of interested in seeing how she would play with all of this Joey Professor Wilder romance stuff, I feel gross and weird saying that. And I have a feeling that she would also be okay with this relationship, but it'd be interesting to, like, see how she deals with and or processes it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And the second part of that question, I don't think Annie and Audrey would get along at first, but Audrey has this way of, like, warming up to everyone, and I can very easily imagine Andy on one shoulder of Joey's and Audrey on the others, and them doing a whole, like, devil angel kind of thing.
I could definitely see that. I think that, I agree, I don't think they would have gotten along in the beginning, in the same way that Joey and Audrey didn't necessarily get along in the beginning either. But I see the complications of trying to add another school into every single episode, because we already have a hard enough time seeing both Worthington and Boston Bay College, and imagine trying to add in Harvard. I would have liked to have seen Andy as at least a recurring character. Like, maybe we don't get these constant main storylines, but yeah, it is weird that she's completely written off, but that is the reality that we've been living with for the past season or so. I would have liked to have seen not so much like an academic pressure storyline, but like, wouldn't it be interesting to see Andy discover maybe a new side to her? Maybe she joins the Greek system as well, or maybe some sort of a extracurricular, something social that kind of balances out this like academic ambitious drive that she's always had. And I think just having her be like the moral compass of the group is something the core five and Audrey lack a little bit. Yeah, it would have been nice to see, but maybe there was that also a concern if they did bring her back that there would be some perceived conflict between Pacey and like her, or maybe I don't know, but yeah, I would have liked to have seen her too.
You made a very good point earlier, like, we're at two colleges, well, we're at three colleges, like, as of a few episodes ago, and literally we have never seen the inside of like a Boston Bay classroom.
Oh yeah, we've never seen that. We've only seen the radio station, that's the most like activity, and then the dorms. Because Charlie, yeah, and the frat inside house of his room, yeah.
But, like, that's it. We're not even that many colleges in. It's kind of funny.
Oh, yeah, we did add a third college, right? I forgot about the film school. Yeah, imagine trying to do four colleges. It would be challenging. Who of the core six would you have been friends with in high school? Did we answer this question before? This sounds familiar. Maybe we just asked it to each other at one point while we were recording the podcast. But I feel like we've discussed this before. I don't remember.
Yeah, Tracy, we've probably discussed this personally before. And there's an outside chance we covered it in the last Q&A. Because Tracy and I talk about Dawson's Creek a lot. What happens on this podcast is probably like 20% of it. But to be honest, I don't think I would be friends with any of the core six. And it's because my clique was very much on, like, the Kenny-esque side of the high school as opposed to the, like, Dawson, Pacey, Joey, Jen side. You know what I'm saying?
It's a different clique.
Yeah. We were nerds, is what I'm trying to say. But I would probably share some classes with, like, Joey and Andy. I was also a drama kid for a little bit, so I may have acted in a play with Pace. So those three, maybe Andy directed me. But apart from that, I don't think I would have just intersected with any of the other three characters.
I think I would have been friends with Joey, just because I feel like perhaps we'd overlap classes a little bit. I feel like Joey or Andy, but also I feel like I knew a girl like Andy in high school and we were best friends for like 2 years and then suddenly we weren't friends. So, I don't know. I feel like maybe one of them, but I think I also, to be honest, probably would have had like a huge crush on Dawson. Let's be real. Because he's like the artsy film guy, you know? And then I would get to know him and then I would be like, never mind.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
But I think I also could have had like a crush on like cheerleader Jen because she's like so cool and like also very intimidating. And I like intimidating people, apparently.
All of the characters are obviously very attractive, right? Like, they're like TV show characters and they're interesting. We're kind of jumping the gun to the next question a little bit. You want to cover the next question?
Oh, yeah. The next question is, if you had to see yourselves dating one of the characters, who would that be? Who do you think you're most compatible with? who are you most attracted to? Like, if we had to date one of the characters from season 5 or the past.
Obviously, everyone on the show is very, very, very attractive. But if we're talking types, I'd probably be, like, super into Joey. Because, like, she's like, the shy, very smart, artsy girl, right? And also, in my Dawson's Creek headcanon, she's probably into anime. So, yeah. That would be cool.
Yeah, I think I already answered this, basically, but I would say either Dawson or Jen, because I feel like they're both incredibly intimidating. Yeah, I would definitely be on the outside of their clique, too, for sure. But I think I would have had a lot of classes with Joey where I feel like we could be friends, which is why I'm like, okay, I wouldn't be totally separate from them. Let's be honest, in this fictional high school, Charles, you and I would be the kids at the lunch table watching the group from afar.
Yeah, no, we'd be like, oh my god, they're so dramatic. I'm so happy that we're not in their friend group. Who can live like that?
But also, like, when I think about who I was in high school, like, I did things like yearbook. I was involved. I was in student council. So I probably would have crossed paths with a few of the core sex.
Yeah, you would have been on the same club as Drew was? How do you think that would
have been? Yeah, we would have done yearbook together. Okay, next question. If you could choose any characters to be your parents, who would you choose and why? Reversely, who would you choose as your children? Interesting question.
Yeah, this is a really good question. It made me think a lot. So I auto-disqualified, like, any of the actual parents. And of the core six, I think the best parental pair would be Pacey and Joey. And I like the idea of having them as parents because they've both, I think, worked the hardest to achieve what they have. And I think I have the most broad and varied life experiences.
I think that's a good answer. I feel like that's a good choice for, like, a parental pair. I think that Jack would be a really good parent, too, just because assuming that he's, like, grown up past what we currently see him as is, like, frat boy Jack, you know, having someone who's, like, had these lived experiences and, like, screwed up and knows how to maybe sit down and talk to you about it. Like, I think that's really helpful. Same with Jen as well.
Yeah, yeah. They would be, like, super empathetic parents. Like, they would understand. That would make a ton of sense. I just think, like, based on what I... This is going to sound weird for me to say, but what I value in a parent as if I'm, like, interviewing people to be my parents. Pacey and Joey are both very hardworking and they know the value of, like, working very, very hard, and I appreciate that.
Yeah.
But I honestly think most of them would be good parents except for Dawson. I don't know about Dawson.
I would choose Dawson as my child.
I think I'd be a good parent to Dawson.
He just needs some tiger parenting, and I really want to give that to him, you know?
I'm so happy you said it because I didn't want to be the one who said it. He needs some direction.
He does need some direction. I'd like to think I can provide it for him. Charles, who do you ship harder, Pandy or Poey?
Overall, probably, this is a tough question, just because this goes so deep into, the Dawson's Creek lore, as you will. but I think I was more invested in the Poey stuff. I love Pandy so much, but ultimately, I ship Poey harder, but I'm pretty much on Team Padre right now. And I think Padre is the best ship name of the three choices.
But, like, in your, I mean, now you're predicting that the series finale ends with Dawson and Joey getting together. But say it was Pacey and one of the three at this point, either Audrey, Joey, or Andy. Who would you be rooting for?
So is the question, who do I think would be the best couple, or who do I think has the most realistic chance of being a couple?
Who do you think is the best couple? Like, who do you see as endgame?
At this point, my heart says Padre, but I think that might be because it's just so recent. But I love them so much. We can talk about this more next episode.
Okay. Let's see. Next question is for me. It's just Tracy. Without spoilers, do I really have to watch the middle of season 6? I watched the start and the final few episodes. I genuinely do not remember a good chunk of season 6. Like, I remember the first episode, and then I remember the series finale, and then I remember episodes sprinkled throughout it. I'm going to say no, because I think you can listen to our podcast recaps, of course, but I just remember it not being that great throughout. there are some moments, like there is an episode or two in there that's like, oh, this reminds me of classic good Dawson's Creek. But aside from that, I think a lot of it is a throwaway, and I'm sorry if season 6 is your favorite, but so far no one has told me season 6 is their favorite, so I don't feel bad offending anyone. But yeah, I'm going to say no. I don't think you need to watch it through all the way if you feel like it's dragging your feet.
I have so much to look forward to.
I know, but I don't want to discourage Charles. Like, I think you'll have a lot to discuss for sure, because I feel like I will be watching it almost with fresh eyes, cuz I barely remember. You know, I remember the outlines of a lot of these storylines and some of the new characters we meet.
Oh my god, more new characters.
There's always going to be new characters, Charles. Next question. Favorite song you've come across so far from watching the show? Are there any that stick out to you? Favorite song, Charles?
Not going to lie. I love the Marilyn Manson cover of Sweet Dreams. It was not used well in the TV show. It was used very, very, very poorly.
That was in Four Scary Stories in season 5, yeah.
Yeah, it's part of the fourth scary story, which is not a full story and not particularly scary. God, I'm thinking about it now, and what a shame that was. But I didn't, like, discover the cover because of Dawson's Creek. Like, it'd been around years before the show used it, and I'm, like, aware of it. Because, you know, it's part of that, like, pop culture ephemera that you see. Songs that I specifically discovered because of the show. My favorite is probably Somebody Love Me by the Weppies, which was in season 3. I may be pronouncing the band name wrong. The Weppies or the Weepies. I think they're Australian. I had heard a different song of them before, a different song by them before, and I loved it, but I never sought out their music, so that was nice to hear. And I always love On My Own from Les Mis, even though I prefer the Samantha Banks version to the Joey Potter version. That is all.
I really like the Daydream Believer cover, even though it gets used again for a Dawson Joey moment. And I feel like, no, that was a Pacey Joey moment. But I do love that initial introduction, how they use it, because, you know, they had referenced it before that it was their karaoke song. It was Dawson Joey's song. And then there's this, like, slowed down cover of it. I'm a sucker for kind of these acoustic kind of covers of popular songs. It's used for that Pacey Joey moment at the end of that specific episode where they kiss. So yeah, I'm a sucker for that one. That's a good one.
It's a nice song.
Are you going to live tweet an episode again like you did with the season 2 episode? So this is referring to 214 and 215. It was Jack's coming out episodes. We had watched and live tweeted it. And this was like 2 years ago at this point, right? It was a while ago. I feel like we're not going to, mainly because of timing. Like, we've kind of gotten to a rhythm of how we record the podcast, which we're going to get into because there's a question about this later. I don't know, Charles, this is maybe up to you. I think occasionally when we're watching, sometimes we'll tweet about it or, you know, post about it on Instagram on both our personal accounts and then occasionally on the podcast one. For the series finale, for sure, we're still trying to figure out how exactly we want to do that one. We may, but I don't know. What do you think, Charles? Do you want to live tweet another episode?
I enjoyed live tweeting that episode. If people liked it, maybe it's something we could explore. The only difficult thing about it, too, is, like, it's not like this TV show is, like, on TV right now, right? So we're live tweeting it at, like, a random time slot. And the thing about live tweeting is you want to interact with other people. So if we do live tweet another episode, I don't know if we will. I wouldn't mind it. Maybe we should set up a viewing party or a watch party or something.
Yeah, we'll have to revisit it, especially when it comes to the series finale. I think that will be quite an event because it'll be the culmination of 3 years of our podcast.
Yeah.
Okay, next question. What made you choose Dawson's Creek to have Charles watch? Was this a favorite show growing up? I never watched Dawson's Creek when I was growing up. I was too young for it at the time. I think we've discussed this here and there throughout the podcast, but yeah, I watched it for the first time on Netflix when it was on Netflix back in like 2013, 2014 for like that brief amount of time. And then I watched it at a time when I was like going through personal like issues or drama or whatever. The show just like really spoke to me and totally binge watched it all in like a month or something like that. Why did we we chose this one? Because at the time when we were launching the podcast, there was not a lot of Dawson's Creek content out there podcast wise. Not to say that there were not podcasts dedicated to Dawson's Creek. There definitely were. We have spoken to quite a few of those podcasts for our collab study hall episode, which if you have not heard that, you should go back and listen to it. But yeah, the Dawson's Creek was only available on the Freeform website at the time. And we wanted to just learn more about podcasting. And the best way to learn how to do something is just to jump in and do it. And Dawson's Creek felt very low stakes to us because it wasn't like a lot of people were talking about it day to day the way that people might have been doing with Gilmore Girls or other shows that were being rebooted at the time. So yeah, we figured like this was a good place to kind of test out the waters and play around and make mistakes. And then we just kept doing it. People started listening. You all started listening to us. And we were like, oh no, we've got to keep talking now. And we enjoy it. We do enjoy it though.
Yeah. The podcast idea started, I think, with as a Tracy and Charles podcast, not as a Dawson's Creek podcast. And I kind of like Dawson's Creek got added to the original premise. And then I honestly didn't think we would find the listenership we did. And it's kind of humbling and very exciting.
Yeah, it is exciting. Like, we're really thankful that people are listening and engaging with us. Like, the fact that we got so many questions, we're still kind of like, and again, we did this in the last Q&A. We were like, whoa, people actually want to know things about like, our opinions and stuff. And they want to know about, you guys want to know about us too, which is kind of cool. So, yeah, we also chose a show that was already completed because, you know, doing a weekly listen kind of a podcast, you've got a formula. You know, you were going to watch an episode, you're going to talk about it, you've got certain things. And Charles hadn't seen Dawson's Creek, so I felt like we took a lot of inspiration from shows like Gilmore Guys, shows like The Shipping Room, where they do discuss these kinds of soapy teen dramas. So yeah, the next question, also we're moving into some questions about just like the logistics of this podcast. Where and how do you record your podcast? I've listened to so many, but I still can't figure out if you're in the same room or casting from opposite ends of the USA. You've mentioned sometimes you're in LA, other times in New York. So I was just curious about what a typical podcast session looks like. And then the next question, I guess we kind of answered all at once. How much stuff do you cut out of final episodes? You guys mentioned cutting stuff sometimes. Would you ever release an unedited episode? So, okay. A week in our podcast life. What does that look like on your end, Charles?
So I will start at the beginning of the week. I normally watch the episode on the Sunday or the Monday, and I'll take notes. I'll look for my polycall fact, and then we'll get to the end of the week, normally Thursday, which is when Tracy and I actually record. We record independently of each other. I live in New York. 95% of the time I'm recording from New York. Tracy, on the other hand, lives in Los Angeles.
Yeah, so we record, if you go back and listen to, or you've been on this journey with us, you've listened to our first two seasons. And we always tell people like, oh yeah, if you're going to listen to us, start with our season one study hall. Because I think that's where we kind of figured out how to podcast. The current setup of it is I record the audio in LA in my apartment on a microphone on my laptop. Charles does the same on his laptop. We're talking right now through FaceTime, actually. And then I sync up the audio on Audacity. That's what I use to edit because it is free. But I cut the clips and kind of prep the pre-production stuff, if you will. All of that is done. We use a program called Loopback, which creates different audio inputs that allows us to cut audio clips from an episode that I'm watching on QuickTime or iTunes, and then to play it back to Charles while we're talking on FaceTime through another kind of input system. It's all kind of technical, and it's a little bit pieced together as we figured out like the right way to do it. Occasionally you will hear, you know, varying dips in our audio quality because who knows what's happening. Sometimes I have to record in a different room that I'm actually in. Sometimes my microphone setup for some reason isn't exactly the way that I had it the last time, and so certain audio sort of blips happen. A whole host of things have happened. And we are constantly finding new ways to figure out the best way to podcast. But we have found out that we cannot sit in the same room and podcast. And if you listen to our very first study hall, you'll hear why. Because we had no idea what we were doing at the time. But we've recorded independently across the country for one another. We do have to account for time zones when it comes to recording. And then I usually edit it. So I would say between watching the episode and cutting the clips and then recording and then editing, it's like a part-time job. It's a good few hours, because editing a podcast the way that I edit it, because we have to put in the clips and then edit, it takes twice as long as the actual recording. So yeah, sometimes if we're rushing through, it's because we've realized we've talked too much. But I do cut out stuff from the final episodes. A lot of the times it is mainly ums and likes and long pauses, because sometimes we'll lose our train of thought, or sometimes an airplane comes overhead that's a little bit too close for comfort. So I do edit out some of those things. Sometimes we go on these rambling conversations and then realize that we're not actually going anywhere, so we'll stop and reset a little bit. But we figured out those kind of ticks about the way that we discuss the show on air, quote unquote, pretty well, so I know exactly kind of where to cut. I would never release an unedited episode. You guys would hate us. It would be so painful for you to listen to an unedited episode of just our audio, because yeah, you would hate us.
Yeah, I talk myself in circles fairly often. And there's like a point of realization where I was like, oh, that made no sense whatsoever. I also and like a lot, I think. So Tracy graciously edits those out.
And I hear this about myself as I'm listening back to my own audio, where I'll be kind of annoyed that I've phrased things certain ways or that I say like too often. And I do try to take some of those things out that don't disrupt the flow of the conversation too much. But it's a constant work in progress. We'll probably be experts on this by the time we're done recording.
I do want to add one final thing. So, like, we record in pretty loud environments compared to, like, your normal studio, right? So there have been times we've tested a lot of different recording setups. I've sat underneath my desk quite a few times. There was a little bit last summer in New York. My apartment doesn't have air conditioning because, you know, Brooklyn. And I'm trying to reduce, like, vocal pop or something. So I'm sitting in a 90-degree apartment under a blanket wearing this, like, scarf to try to reduce my, like, plosive sounds. It was an ordeal. So we've learned a lot over the past podcast, basically.
Yeah, 2 years, yeah. I used to sit in a closet. It's a whole mess. Yeah, look, we don't get paid to do this. We do this because we love it. And so we don't have fancy setups. We're not going to pay to go to a studio or anything like that. It's a little raw, but we kind of like it that way. But yeah, I would say the next question is also kind of feeds into this. What's the best part of the podcast? What's the worst part? Do you wish it could last longer? Do you wish it would be over soon? I do love this podcast. Do I wish that it ended soon? No, because I do want to. I want to see this out in the timeline that we've set it out to go. But do I want it to last longer? No, not because I don't want to keep interacting with you all, but because it is a lot of work. Without sounding ungrateful, it's just a lot of work, and sometimes there are days where it'll be late Sunday night and I'll start editing the episode to go out Monday morning, because, you know, we have full-time jobs and we also have other commitments, other things. Sometimes we're traveling and I always have to rush back on a Sunday night to make sure that it's done. But that's not saying that because I don't want it to last longer. It's not saying I hate it. It's just that it'll be nice to take a breather from it. And maybe we'll come back, you know, a month later with a different podcast, you know.
The podcast ultimately is a side project for us, and anytime you do like a long-term side project over the scope of years and you do it consistently as we've endeavored to do it, it's not easy, right? Like, we've done this basically every week for 2 years with like a few exceptions, but we try to make not a ton of exceptions, so it can be difficult. It's a lot of fun, I enjoy doing the podcast. I've said it before, but I'll say it again. It gives Tracy and I an excuse to talk about something that's not work, which I really appreciate. And I can't believe I'm such an expert on Dawson's Creek now. Not that, like, you know, I'm a super in-depth expert, but I appreciate it. It's fun. It's really fun.
Yeah, it is fun. And I think, yeah, it gives us something else to talk about. It gives us a new set of inside jokes. It gives us something to talk about with other people, too. You know, when they're like, you guys do a Dawson's Creek podcast, and then we get to talk about it. Yeah, it's funny. And also, you know, it just, I don't know. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of work. We do love it. But I think we're also looking forward to being able to take a pause. The next question also kind of ties in. Are you going to do another show once you finish Dawson's Creek? And definitely not for a while. Like, we're not going to go straight into another show.
No.
Although, would we ever do a podcast again? Who knows? Like, we're not going to say no. We're not going to say never. But I think we've had a lot of fun doing this show specifically. And, you know, the Dawson's Creek fan community online is not super active. It's not like you're getting news every single day from actors or people associated with the show, but we see them out there. You know, Joshua Jackson is now on board with the Little Fires Everywhere. He just got cast in that, so it's like, to us, really exciting, because we're like, oh my god, like, it's Pacey. So, you know, like, there's news out there, they're still doing stuff, and it's fun for us. But yeah, I think once Dawson's Creek is over, I think I can speak for both Charles and myself that we're gonna be packing away our microphones for a little bit.
Yeah, for a bit.
Oh, side note though, before we continue, another great part of this is that it gives us the opportunity to fangirl over, and I use that term not derogatory, in a derogatory manner, but it gives us a chance, like, kind of be a fan over some pretty niche type things. Like, I'm just gonna say this, but today that we're releasing this episode is May 27th, so the movie is out this week, but I did the press junket for the Netflix film Always Be My Maybe, which is directed by Ninotchka Khan, who is the showrunner for Don't Trust the Bee. And we just talked about the movie, but then I also got to ask her about James Vanderbeek and Don't Trust the Bee. And it was great. And she was so like, oh my god, I'm so glad you brought up that show. Like, I love that you are talking to me about the show, because that was such a passion project for her. And it got canceled after, it was only on air for 2 seasons, or they only did 2 seasons worth of episodes. And she was just like delighted to talk about the show. So I got to ask her about James Vanderbeek, and it was a lot of fun. So yeah.
You never know how germane a podcast about a 90s TV show will be to the rest of your life.
Exactly. Okay, what are your all-time favorite TV shows besides Dawson's Creek?
So, I love Parks and Rec and The Office.
Are you done watching The Office? Remember we had a whole thing because you've only seen the last, like, season of The Office?
No, I have not finished watching The Office. I did start watching it episode by episode a little bit back. I've had to take a break for a little bit just for timing purposes, but I want to say I'm a little bit past where the Scranton, spoiler alert, I'm a little bit past where the Scranton office and the is it the New York office merge or the Connecticut office, so I'm a little bit past that. Karen's still in the picture, which is great because I love Rashida Jones. So I love The Office and Parks and Rec. I'm sorry I haven't seen all of The Office, but I'm gonna say I love it anyways. Of the other shows I've like completely completed, I love Leverage, which is like a heist procedural that I believe is on Netflix. Highly recommended if you like procedurals. Season 3 is the worst season, but it's better both before and after. I also like Bones a lot. I think at this point, Emily Deschanel is my favorite Deschanel sister. And while it's not really TV, I love, 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 love the Bon Appetit YouTube series.
Oh, yeah. I love those videos, too. Charles actually introduced me to them. I love Back to Back Chef. If you've not seen that series on YouTube, highly recommend. My mom's favorite show is Leverage, so my mom and Charles have a lot in common.
We didn't plan this. It just, like, happened somehow. Leverage is such a little-known show. I was always bewildered by the fact that Tracy's mom's favorite show was Leverage.
My mom loves procedural. She also loves Bones. My favorite TV show of all time is Gilmore Girls. Friends is a close second. I have, before Netflix and streaming were a thing, I've collected all of the DVDs for all seasons of Gilmore Girls and Friends. Even season 7 of Gilmore Girls, yes. And season 10 of Friends. But I've seen every episode multiple times. I have a lot of thoughts about the Gilmore Girls Netflix episodes. So if you ever want to talk about them with anyone, that's what I'm here for. So those are two of my favorite shows. Currently, I am loving Killing Eve, which is a fantastic show if you've not seen it. Jane the Virgin, which is ending this season. I'm devastated. What else do I love?
This Is Us?
This Is Us is a good one. Yeah, This Is Us is a good one. I hesitate to say Riverdale. I watched every single episode of Riverdale, and I will continue to watch it, but that show is bonkers. I don't know if I can consider it a favorite. another Greg Berlanti show, but yeah, it is just what? Every time an episode starts, I'm like, what just happened? And you all know that I love Riverdale. I talk about it almost every episode. I've gotten emails about it already. I love Younger because I think Sutton Foster is great. One Day at a Time, the Netflix reboot. I'm so sad that it was canceled. I'm fingers still crossed for it. And then on the newsy type show, Patriot Act. I think that Patriot Act is a must watch if you have Netflix. And Queer Eye. I'm just a huge Netflix fan, basically.
Of the shows that I currently watch, most of them are online stuff. So in addition to Bon App, I spend most of my time watching Critical Role. It's a D&D live stream show on Twitch, where a bunch of like professional voice actors play D&D. I also watch Dimension 20, another Dungeons & Dragons show on College Humor's Dropout platform. It's just fun, and I highly recommend both of them. But if you can only watch one additional source of content, Bon Appetit, YouTube, number one rec.
Okay. What Teeny Bopper magazine pictures did either of you have, if any, on your walls growing up? They're the sort of a additional part to this is imagine you were Henry, who was your Jen back then. Charles, can you answer this? Did you have any Teeny Bopper magazine pictures?
No, I did not have any Teeny Bopper magazine pictures. I didn't really read magazines as a kid. Like, the closest thing was I had a subscription to Nintendo Power for a year, I think, and that was only a year. But I did have a celebrity crush back then. It was Sarah Michelle Gellar, because she was in that Scooby-Doo movie, and I thought that was real attractive.
Did you ever see Buffy? We've had this conversation before.
We've had this conversation before. I have not watched a ton of Buffy episodes.
Right, because you didn't know David Boreanaz was Angel. You just knew him from Bones.
Okay, so I don't know if my microphone picked it up earlier, but after I said Bones was one of my favorite TV shows, I started like chuckling to myself because I remembered when I thought David Boreanaz's name was Jason Boreanaz.
Jason Borealis is what Charles thought his name was. Yeah. He said it with such confidence. And I'm so disappointed we had cut off the recording of our podcast at this point. But Charles is making a joke and he said, you know, Jason Borealis. Oh my God, I need to marry you off, Charles, so I don't have to be the only one who hears these conversations. Okay. Teeny Bopper magazine pictures. I loved Tiger Beat. I loved Teen People. J14, all great magazines. Definitely if it was a boy band, like if they were in a boy band, I was into it. NSYNC and Backstreet Boys, big fans. Who else did I have on my wall? Daniel Radcliffe, because I was like a huge fan of like the early Harry Potter, like when they first started making the movies. That was all exciting. Orlando Bloom, you know, the usual, the usual teen idols. Yeah, that's pretty much the ones I can really think of.
Those are pretty good answers.
Yeah. And I'm still a Backstreet Boys fan, so I'm still really into catching up on their music at all times. Okay. Are either of you currently in a relationship with someone? If so, do they watch Dawson's Creek as well? This is the only question I included in our list that is about relationships, because I told you all not to ask us if we were dating, and y'all still asked us if we were dating. The answer is no. Are either of us dating anyone? I'm going to say for me, no.
No, I'm very single right now.
But not dating one another and not interested in dating one another. I feel like I constantly have to say that to people. But if you were, Charles, if you were dating someone and they've never seen Dawson's Creek and they don't want to watch Dawson's Creek, like, that's not a deal breaker for you, is it? Or is it?
No, that's not a deal breaker at all. I honestly think it'd be, if I if I were not me and I were dating someone and they had a Dawson's Creek podcast, I would probably think that's kind of abnormal, but I would respect their decision to do it. And honestly, if I were in a relationship right now, I don't know if I would want to watch Dawson's Creek with that person, because like I want to serve you guys my straight opinion without any additional input beyond like whatever discussion I have with Tracy. I'm not here to add a third person to this podcast.
And I also think that like if I were dating someone and they were to like made a judgment about Dawson's Creek without ever having seen it, I would be a little irritated, you know, like you should give everything at least a chance once, you know. So, I mean, it would be a deal breaker for me if they didn't watch Dawson's Creek, but if they were very like, oh, that show is dumb, but they've never actually sat down and watched it, I would be a little like, okay, well, that says a lot about them as a person too, you know, not wanting to give things a try.
Yeah, I don't want to date like negative people to begin with.
Question for me. It says, Tracy, I see from your Instagram you're a Disney fan. For someone who's never gone but is going soon, any recommendations on where to stay or which parks to go to? And oh my god, I could spend an hour talking about this, but I'm not. Now the question here is if you're going to Disney in California or in Florida, because I've got different advice on both of them. If it's Disney in California, there's only two parks that are right across from each other, so you could easily park hop back and forth, so hopefully you have a ticket that allows you to do that. Currently Star Wars Land is opening, so it's chaotic at the moment, but I would say my biggest recommendation is to bring water, like always have a water bottle with you, whether it's like a refillable one or if you're buying bottles of water, because you will get tired. Don't be afraid to take breaks. Like some people want to go 24/7, but in Disney California Adventure there's like the animation studio, which is basically just like an indoor theater where you could just sit down on these like really comfy kind of couches, and all around the room they show clips from movies that are just like the songs and stuff like that. It's just like a nice place to relax. There's other stuff going on in there, like you can line up to meet Anna and Elsa and stuff like that, but find those areas where you can like sit down and take a break, and don't, because you don't want to just overwork yourself going through a park. Take advantage of MaxPass, which is the system where you can make fast pass reservations on your phone through the Disneyland app, and that way you don't have to run around and get fast passes. You could just figure it out all on your phone, you know, grab them early, do it from if you're standing on a line for something else. So take advantage of that, because that will maximize your time. Now if you're going to Disney Florida, again, if you want more like detailed answers on this, you can email us DawsonSpeakPod@gmail.com and I will give you like everything, because I don't want to bore other people with this right now. But Disney in Florida, there are four parks and they are not close to each other at all. So you've got to budget time in for getting between the parks if you've got a park hopper. Make dining reservations, because I think sometimes when people do anything, whether it's like traveling not to a theme park or going to the parks, you tend to forget to make dining reservations and like what your food plan is going to be, because it can get a little overwhelming. So my sister and I, on our last Disney World trip, anchored everything kind of by what food we wanted to eat. So we knew like what area of the parks we were going to be in, what time we had to do things by, things like that, which I think is my number one tip. Don't forget to eat. I have a lot more to say, so please email me, because I will talk about Disney all day long. Charles, do you cook or bake? Are you a foodie? What's your favorite type of food? And do you have a favorite restaurant?
Oh my god. I'm going to answer that last question first, because it's also Disney related. I have quite a few favorite restaurants. I am a foodie. I love to cook. I am horrible at baking. My favorite current restaurant is this place called Ugly Baby in Brooklyn. I'm going again tomorrow, and it's very exciting. It's this like Northern Thai style restaurant. So most American Thai food is like on the sweeter side. Your like pad thais and your curries. Northern Thai food is a little bit more funky, a little bit more fermented. I'm gonna get a giant fried fish tomorrow. That's very exciting. My all-time favorite restaurant is Playground in Orange County, California, in Santa Ana specifically. And the Disney-related restaurant that I really, really, really love, one of the best dinners I've had in my entire life, is at Napa Rose at the Grand Californian at the Disneyland Resort. It's their like one of their fanciest restaurants, I want to say. And you can do like a few different prefix menus. I highly recommend the chef's counter at Napa Rose. You sit right up in the open air kitchen. The sous chef or whichever chef is on duty that night will customize a menu for you. And it's a great, 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 great time. Highly recommend it. Again, as I mentioned earlier, I do cook a lot. I try to host a like prefix style dinner party for my friends every month. And I rotate themes. So I've done seafood, I've done a Vietnamese dinner, I've done like a Texas dinner, holiday dinners. Very often the menus are based on places I've traveled or lived. And my favorite thing to make overall is gougères. They're this like French cheese choux pastry. It's kind of like, it's the same dough that you use to make cream puffs, but a little bit more savory and with like just a ton of Gruyere cheese in it. It's amazing.
That sounds really good. I can attest Charles is a pretty good cook, although maybe one of these podcasts will talk about the time that Charles hosted a chopped styled competition in his apartment and fell on the floor within the first 5 minutes.
Hey, listen, I won. That's all that matters.
Yeah, yeah. Next question. Is it weird that I just want Tracy to promote her makeup Instagram? No, it's not weird. I have a makeup Instagram. If you follow us on social media, I feel like most people, not that a ton of our listeners do, but I know a handful, there are definitely some who do and who've seen our different social media ventures. I have a makeup Instagram that is separate from my personal one. It is at alopecia MUA, which stands for makeup artist. I have alopecia, which is an autoimmune disease, which causes hair loss. I've had it since I was like 7 years old. And I started this makeup Instagram because I'm a youth mentor for two different alopecia related nonprofits. And one of the things that a lot of the young people were saying is that, very similar to how I felt when I was growing up, that I was interested in makeup, but I didn't feel like it was quote unquote for me, because I thought it was only for like the really pretty people already, you know, like I just didn't see people like me doing makeup. But I learned how to do my makeup through things like YouTube tutorials, seeing people who had the same eye shape as I did or the same skin tone, things like that. But I also didn't really see a lot of people who looked like me in terms of having alopecia also doing makeup. And so I kind of just wanted to play with that and do it sort of for myself. Like I didn't start this Instagram to be an influencer or anything like that. It was really just so that I can practice and kind of have a space to connect with other people who also have alopecia, people who are also in the makeup community. And I've met a lot of people through that way. And yeah, so if you want to follow that, if you're interested in makeup, it is at alopecia MUA.
Tracy's taught me so much about makeup.
Yes, Charles asks a lot of questions about makeup, aside from the ones he asks on the podcast. And whether it is makeup, the products themselves, or makeup community drama, which Charles also is very well versed in at this point, I'm here to answer your questions. okay. You've mentioned interest in the NBA before. What teams are your favorites? Follow up, what are your thoughts on the NBA playoffs so far? Side note, as a 76ers fan, it made me sad to hear that Polakol is a Celtics fan. I'm going to have to ignore this Polakol fact. This was actually one of our first questions we got. We opened up this Q&A like a month ago. So at the time, there were more teams in the playoffs. So now we are pretty much down to the Warriors on the West. And then I think the last game is being played. Not the last game, but the Eastern Conference is still happening, the playoffs there. And maybe by the time this episode comes out, there will be two teams now ready to go for the championship. What is your favorite NBA team, Charles? You do not follow the NBA, though.
Okay. Okay, here's the thing. I say that a lot. I tried to start watching more basketball this season because my primary sport that I follow is football. And to be honest, I'm feeling like more and more guilty about the health effects of football. So I tried to watch more basketball this season. I was gonna try to cheer for the Nets because, you know, I live in Brooklyn and I am a big Jeremy Lin fan. And then they traded Jeremy Lin to the Hawks, so I did not cheer for them. And then I explored cheering for the Warriors, and then Tracy made fun of me
because that's being a bandwagon Warriors fan, and those are the worst kinds of fans. If you can't tell, y'all, I do not like the Warriors. I do not want them to win this. I'm sorry if you're a Warriors fan out there. If you've been a Warriors fan forever, I'm happy for you, but there are a lot of bandwagoners out there and I don't like them.
Listen, when I was a child, my uncle loved the Warriors, and he would dress me in Warriors stuff. And then I just didn't care about football for the next two decades. Or not football. I just didn't care about basketball for the next two decades. But at this point, I guess by default, I cheer for the Kings because that's Tracy's team. And, like, she's the only person I talk to about basketball. So they're, like, the team I know about the most, I think.
See, this is why people think we're dating.
Oh, God.
I am a lifelong Kings fan. Currently, I mean, this past season has been great. We don't have a postseason, but we got close, and that's what matters. I'm from Sacramento, so the Kings are my home team. I had a Kings poster up in my room. I love basketball. I'm a huge NBA fan. Even if I'm mad about the teams that are in the finals, I'll still watch because I just love the drama of basketball. There's always something dramatic going on. So I'm a Kings fan, but I would say this finals, I am rooting for not the Warriors. But that doesn't mean that I don't like the Bucks. I think either the Bucks or the Raptors at this point, like, it's their time. It's someone else's time. I'm just tired of the Warriors. That's me being bitter, though, honestly, being a Northern California team and being, like, ignored. So
I think this playoff season, I'd be fine with either Eastern Conference team winning.
And Jeremy Lin's on the Raptors now, so we can, in the future, maybe write NBA champion Jeremy Lin.
Yeah, whether it's the Raptors or the Bucks have that Greek player, Giannis, on their team, yeah. Right? Yeah, he's cool. He seems cool. So, honestly, like, I think the Warriors are cool, and it annoys Tracy. Like, they're just such a cool team.
All right, moving on. Now, we had jokingly asked people if they wanted us to give them advice, like life advice, and no one asked us last time. Maybe we got one question or something. I can't remember. But we actually got quite a few this time. So we're going to put a disclaimer here that Charles and I are not professional advice givers. Like, don't use our advice in place of therapy. But, you know, maybe our life experiences or our experience with Dawson's Creek will be able to help shape your journey. But, yeah, I don't know. I feel like I need to put a disclaimer there because I'm afraid someone's going to take our advice super seriously.
Disclaimer. Tracy and I have no professional licenses. We're not financial advisors. We're not legal advisors. We're not therapists. None of that. But here we go.
Okay, here we go. First question. Watching and listening in the Southern Hemisphere, I'm fascinated by the American phenomenon of dating. Does the show accurately reflect how people date? You know, not friendship that over time turns into relationship, but a kind of artificial situation with relative strangers, pickup lines, exchanging contact details, then going on the date and having all those rules to follow, and then getting married. Surely that's just a weird Hollywood thing, right? Does anyone enjoy that kind of job interview obligation situation?
This is probably the question we're both least prepared or least well equipped to answer. But I'll take a crack at it. I feel like while that kind of Hollywood dating does exist, it's nowhere near as prevalent as media makes it seem. Like, it makes good for good entertainment, but I want to say a plurality, if not majority of people in the United States, like, they find their relationships through good acquaintances turning into something romantic, not through, like, hitting on someone at a bar or, like, running into them and making them drop a bunch of stuff.
The meet cute.
Yeah, the meet cute, as you will. That being said, with the introduction of dating apps now, dating has changed a lot in the United States and I'm sure across the rest of the world. People I speak to, and myself sometimes, are going on a lot more of those, like, interviewee dates, and I personally freaking hate it. It's the worst. Yeah, most of my, like, rewarding romantic relationships have been people who I had known for quite some time or had been friends with before, good acquaintances or what have you.
Yeah, dating in the sense of how I feel most people are, like, on the dating apps, and it does feel a little bit like a job interview. That's a good way to put it, because not only are you looking at details on an app first to kind of sort through what you think you might like in someone, but I don't know. I don't enjoy the whole thing of dating, but I'm also bad at it, so I don't know. I do think that that's the number of meet cutes you see in, like, movies and TV shows I don't see it that much in real life, but maybe it's just me. Maybe there are people out there constantly having meet cutes and getting married off of them. I don't know. If you got married and you met your now spouse in a meet cute kind of way, and when I say meet cute, if you're not familiar with that, is it's like the it's a trope, it's a term that's used for like a quote unquote cute way of meeting. So for instance, like you both reach for the last Coke on a shelf or something like that. You know, those kinds of happenstance kind of meetings you often see in rom-coms. Yeah. If you met your spouse that way, let us know.
I will share a personal detail about me. I am on some of the apps. I'm not like an active user of them at this point. But my primary app is OkCupid. And literally my main filter that I use to search for people is if we share the same favorite band, which is the XX. I found that that's like the most efficient way to filter people, but it's very often just a crapshoot. Dating is the worst.
I'm starting a new job at the end of May, which is exciting but also scary and nerve-wracking. Any tips on how to be less terrified other than channeling my inner Elle Woods? Now, this episode is coming out the end of May, so I don't know if you've started this job yet, but we're gonna try to do our best. I'm assuming this Elle Woods reference means that you are gonna be a lawyer.
I don't know if we can safely make that assumption.
Oh yeah, spoiler alert for Legally Blonde, she goes through law school. Sure, also has to watch Legally Blonde. It's a whole thing. Okay.
Elle Woods as a character is just a very like good character.
You haven't seen Legally Blonde. You can't judge Elle Woods' character. I mean, she's great, but you haven't seen it yet.
Okay. Let's dispense this advice.
Okay. New job, scary, nerve-wracking. Any tips on how to be less terrified?
What I do to handle this kind of stress is like I constantly remind myself that like I deserve to be there, that I've achieved the things I've achieved for the most part on my merits. It's easy to forget that sometimes, and it's easy to feel like you're an imposter. Everyone's felt like an imposter at some point in their life at least once. I got a very good piece of advice from a book recently, and it's that if you are doing something and you run into something that you feel is particularly difficult, what can help is to remember that the people around you who are doing similar things also probably thought that piece of work was also difficult. So as long as you're prepared to engage with it in a earnest way, and you're well prepared, everyone has the same struggles as you do. Back to Elle Woods. I think she's a great character to channel. She never let other people's perceptions of her get in the way of what she wanted, and she was willing to work very hard to get where she was. So channeling your inner Elle Woods is great.
It is great. But again, Charles, you haven't seen Legally Blonde yet, so you're tricking people into thinking you've seen a classic. You have not yet. But he will see it, though.
She had a 4.0 from UCLA and a 178 LSAT. That's crazy.
Oh, Charles and his Googling. Okay. My tips on how to be less terrified is to hype yourself up with a good playlist before you start. Like, I am a very anxious person. Before I do anything that's like a new or unfamiliar setting, I get super anxious about it. But music is something that really helps me. So I try to hype myself up with, you know, a good playlist. But I think all of Charles' advice is really well spoken, well said. Sorry, I forgot my words there for a second. Well said, that you do deserve to be there. There's a reason you got hired in that job. You are qualified. And, you know, just think about it in terms of if the person next to you probably went through the same thing. I don't think anyone ever walks into a job 110% confident all of the time. You know, like there's always going to be those moments where you feel like, oh, is this the right place for me? You might doubt it, but you applied, you went through the interview process, you got there. You deserve to be there. So we're cheering you on. We're rooting for you.
We believe in you.
How did you guys deal with the time between graduating university and finding a job in your career field?
That period of time can be very demoralizing. What helped me a lot was making lists of tasks that I actually did, and lists that I actually used. Because very often it's easy to make lists and then ignore them, and then that just adds more to your stress. So what was helpful for me was identifying the specific goals I had, and then detailing steps that I could take to reach those goals, whether it was freelancing or doing an internship or even volunteering. It might not happen for you right away, but as long as you can feel that you're making some progress towards your goals, it's a much less stressful time, and you'll actually get like some good work done. For frame of reference, Tracy and I are both journalists. After I graduated, I worked a random like agency job for a few months, and I didn't have a journalism job for, I want to say, 5 to 6 months after graduation. But in the intervening time, I freelanced for a newspaper while I was working my agency gig. I was sending out a ton of applications. I was doing edit tests, and finally someone bit, and it all worked out. So you just gotta keep your head down, keep moving forward.
Yeah, I think my experience is a little bit different in that I finished all of my classes and coursework. So I was a double major and I did a lot of summer school. I finished my coursework. Actually, we were on a quarter system, so I finished a quarter early. So I was done in March and I had a few months before our actual graduation ceremony, which was June. And Charles, I think you were a little bit similar, but we graduated a year apart from each other. So I was actually, I had 3 months to basically apply for jobs, but I was still at the university. I was still working my university job. I was managing our school newspaper. So I kept myself busy, but I did have the luxury to focus on applying for internships. And the way that I did it was I made a list of the places I really wanted to work. Places that either I loved personally or that I knew people who had interned there right after graduation that had, you know, given me good advice. And I spent my time applying for those. I got a few interviews here and there, but I graduated with no idea of really what I was going to do. I moved back to Sacramento, to my hometown. Did not move into my parents' house because I had this fear that I was going to lose momentum just because this is all completely unfounded. This is just in my head where I was like, I can't move back home. Like, I need to keep going. So I lived on my friend's couch but the plan was to live in for the summer. And I just kept applying for things. I went back to a lot of the places that had rejected me for the first internship round, like for the summer internships. And I went back to them and said, do you have a fall internship? And actually one of the places it turned out did have an opening. That was in the East Coast. It was in Maryland, close to DC. And so I think I spent a month on my friend's couch before I ended up moving to DC. Still had my list of places I really wanted to work and kept pursuing those. And my first internship, well, after the, I don't talk about my very first internship that much because I was only there for a month, but my first, I think, real newsroom experience was I got an internship at NPR, which was like on my list of dream jobs. So make lists, like Charles said. Be patient. Don't feel like, oh, I'm not getting anything, like it's not going to happen for me. Don't be afraid to ask for advice too, because I asked advice from a lot of people of my resume and cover letter and portfolio, and you know, really took their criticism at heart because I really wanted to know, like, what am I doing wrong? What is it that I could change about the way I'm presenting myself or selling myself or whatever? And keep moving forward. It's that period is going to seem really scary, I think, between any job or any sort of life change. But don't get discouraged, because it is easy to get discouraged. But yeah, know that there are a lot of people in that boat with you. And then in the meantime, you know, don't forget to also try to unwind a bit at the end of a night. Don't overwork yourself. And that, I think, will just stress you out more, being like, I applied to 50 jobs today and didn't hear back. Like, take time for yourself as well.
And I want to just piggyback on that second to last point you made about reaching out to people. Like, don't feel like you're a burden to other people by reaching out. Like, any additional information you get about how you're performing is going to be helpful. And if people say, like, oh, I'm really busy right now, I can't give you additional feedback, that's fine. Just accept that. But, you know, most people are willing to talk to you a little bit about just things in general. And I think that can be very helpful information.
Yeah. Be careful about how you're asking for help. Like, don't be in a way like, hi, I haven't talked to you in 3 years. Can you look at my resume? Like, build connections, take time to do that, because it will help in the long run for sure. Like, there are definitely people that I sort of quote-unquote networked with, and I hate using that term because it's so schmoozy sometimes, but there are people that you're going to meet, and maybe you're not going to get the right job opportunity out of them right away, but that building that relationship and investing in it, I think, is important for your own personal growth. And, you know, in the long run, I think that that's really important. And the last question, I think, because we've now been recording for a very long time, and it is late in the East Coast, and it is dinner time on the West Coast right now. How do you make friends as an adult? It's so hard without school, and most people I work with don't live super close to me. Help.
The age-old millennial question, how do you make friends as an adult? It can be really difficult. After college, when I started my journalism job, I moved up to Seattle, a city where I like literally knew no one. I had no family. I had no college friends. I had zip. So it took me some time, but what I ended up doing is I focused on my hobbies. And at the time I played, this is going to make me sound even nerdier than I already do, but I played a lot of Magic the Gathering. So I would go to a card shop that ran events every week, and I just became a regular there, and I met people through that way. And I think, you can do this with any hobby. Like, find a meetup group, take a pottery class or like a woodworking class or what have you. And at the very beginning, what I think can be particularly helpful when you feel like you're friendly with some people, but you aren't friends yet, and you're afraid that they won't invite you out or whatever, is to just organize like get-togethers or dinners or stuff yourself. People for the most part like going to things, but hate planning things. So I wouldn't feel anxiety about not getting invited out to places. It's probably because no one wants to organize anything. So if you organize something, chances are like people will go. That's my advice.
I am a very introverted person, so I have a hard time just like going to meetup groups or like going out to a bar and just like meeting people, you know, that kind of socializing. When I first moved over to the East Coast, I didn't know anyone, but social media is great because I did connect with someone who was also in the East Coast, in DC at law school, and he and I weren't super close, but we were friendly. Like, we got dinner and then just started chatting and like became closer friends that way. And you know, you meet people through people that way as well. That's happened when I moved to New York too, because I also didn't know a lot of people. I'd say some of my closest friends now that I didn't meet in college, I met through a lot of other people. And, you know, don't discount your work friends entirely. Even if they don't live super close to you, like, you know, I have some friends at work who I don't hang out with much outside of work, but I do consider them friends because, like, we're not only talking about work stuff. And we do, like, message or we'll text, and we've got our inside jokes or our TV shows that we watch that are the same. So that's kind of how I go about doing, finding common interests. And then, you know, sometimes I meet people, like, through Twitter, which is kind of weird because it's like, oh, you don't want to just meet people online, catfishing, you don't ever know who the other person's going to be. But like, for instance, I'm going to give a shout out to Katie, who's over at the Tea Time with Katie and Chelsea podcast. Like, I met her because she started following and listening to Dawson Speak and mentioned us on one of her podcasts and tweeted us. Then I started listening to one of their podcast episodes and was like, oh my God, I love this. Oh my God, she lives in LA. Can I be her best friend? And then we just started hanging out. So, like, you never know how you can meet people. And I think the internet has been great for that, and that you can, like, connect with a lot of different types of people. And then I have some friends that, like, I've reconnected with over the years that I now consider, you know, my close friends. I know other people who have, you know, gone to – they joined kickball teams, or maybe they'll go to SoulCycle, or maybe they'll go to you know, church. They'll meet people through that way. So invest in extracurriculars and don't feel shy about just introducing yourself. Like, I have to work myself up to introduce myself sometimes to people, but I think it's worth it.
Definitely agree.
Or find someone to start a podcast with and then become their best friend.
oh, I had like 5 reactions right there.
No, Charles and I have known each other much longer than we've been coworkers. Yeah. Sometimes I was just saying I was in New York last week and we were teasing each other, and I made a joke about Charles being stupid. I don't think Charles is stupid. Like I said at the beginning of the podcast, Charles is not dumb, but I made a joke being like, oh my God, Charles is dumb or whatever. And I think someone didn't realize that, like, Charles and I have known each other for so long that we make these kinds of jokes. They're like, all they know is, like, Tracy's Charles's manager, and she's insulting him. And I'm like, no, that's not what's going on here.
Oh my God. It looks so bad sometimes. It's so funny.
I know. I'm surprised we don't get reported to HR more often.
Me too.
Okay. Those are pretty much all the questions we've been recording for so long. I don't even know how long this episode's going to be. We're not releasing the unedited version, that's for sure, as we've already discussed. But this was super fun. I hope we got to answer at least most of the questions. I know we definitely didn't get to all of them. But if you have any follow-up questions, feel free to email us, DawsonSpeakPod@gmail.com, or we're at DawsonSpeakPod on every social media platform. And also our personal Twitter handles, Instagram handles are also out there as well. But the only reason why I don't often promote our handles is because Charles doesn't want to accidentally get looped into spoiler conversations. So, yeah, at Dawson Speak Pod, I usually will screenshot a lot of stuff or copy and paste it and send it over to Charles so he can at least see it and also respond to things as well. Yeah, if you have any follow-up questions, you know how to get to us. Continue to subscribe, rate and review us on iTunes, and check out our merch store. There are occasional Tee Public sales that I will forget to tweet about or post about on social media, but they happen from time to time in the vaguest way possible. And then next week we'll be back with... Next week we should be back with 514. The only reason why I'm going to say it this way is because we are having some personal... And we're going to get into it later because we will talk about it. But there are some personal things happening. And we may not have 514 next week. But I would say there's a 98% chance you will hear 514 next week. If not, you'll hear it the next week. But you should. 514 next week. Bring it right back into the rest of the season. We're like pretty much at the halfway mark, a little bit over it. And we'll continue mm-hmm. with guerrilla filmmaking is the episode. Charles, any last words?
Thank you, everybody, for sending your questions in. They were very thoughtful. I had a lot of fun answering them. The Elwood's questioner, if you actually are going to become a lawyer, I'm sorry I derailed that chunk of the question. but this is always a fun time. So I adore you all.
Yes. Thank you again. You can check out Charles' series finale predictions over at DawsonSpeak.com. And yeah, we'll talk to you next week.